Welcome to the Life and Mission Podcast, where we tackle writing and storytelling challenges faced by nonprofits, because if you struggle to tell great stories, you'll struggle to raise funds. I'm Kay Helm, and today's episode is about the little things that keep people who really want to help you from actually following through, and a few things you can do to fix that. Picture this. You just met with a prospective donor who seems really excited about your ministry. But then, nothing happens. You send emails to your list with ministry updates, and you get a great open rate. You see that people are clicking through to your donation page, but they don't give. It's frustrating when you see people make a first move towards supporting you, but then they just seem to fall off the map. If it happens to you frequently, it's likely that donors are encountering some sort of friction, and it's up to you to track that friction down and eliminate as much of it as you can. Now, friction isn't always bad. After all, it's what makes the brakes on your car work. Think about the difference between walking on pavement or a dirt path and trying to walk on ice. The friction between your shoes and the pavement allows you to move around, go forward, go backwards, go sideways, right, without falling. Whereas on ice, you have a much harder time doing that. This is because the smooth surface creates less friction. But in fundraising, friction takes on a different meaning. For us, friction is anything that gets in the way of your supporters taking certain actions. Friction is something that makes it harder than it should be to give, to volunteer, or to help in any way. You'd be surprised at how many websites don't have a mailing address or a phone number. It's little things, but they add up. So let's back the train up a little bit and look at what we're trying to do. We talk about the donor's journey, right? This is the process where a person goes from not knowing you at all to getting to know you, getting to like you, and then trusting you. And then after that, then they might give to you. But those first three things have to happen, and they can happen pretty quickly, but they have to happen before people will actually take a step towards you. So if they don't know, like, and trust you, they won't give to you. They won't volunteer. They won't share you with their friends, all of those things that you need them to do. Everything about you plays into those three things: know, like, and trust. Everything about how people encounter you. So this would be how they encountered you in person, how they encounter you on your website, how they encounter you on socials, videos, newsletters, anything, right? All of the things that you create need to help people know, like, and trust you. So this is why you don't just kind of rely on tactics. So here's an example. I was on staff at my church, and I was working in my office on a Saturday when the office is closed, nobody else is around, and a woman came up to the side entrance of the church. Now, this is a door that has a sign on it, and it points people to the front doors, his office, the other way, right? Because we wanted people to come in through the main entrance and not kind of slipping in behind us, right? The side door, really, it's for staff. We keep the door locked. But this lady comes up, she bangs on the door, and I got up to see what she needed. She stepped in, right, almost pushing me. Like, she gets her foot in the door and comes on in, and she's, "I need to see the pastor." "Well, he's not here. Can I help you?" And I don't know, she in distress, what's going on? "I need to talk to the pastor. Can you get him?" "Well, he's not available. What do you need?" Well, why? And I'm thinking, right, in my mind, I'm going, why did I open the door? And all of my internal alarms are going off, right? That's friction, serious friction here. I'm like, whoa. So she handed me her card and basically ordered me to tell the pastor that she needed to use the pulpit Sunday. Like, she had a message from God for our service. And she just was like, you know, "Here I am, and you have to let me speak tomorrow." And that's not really how it works. So finally I got her to leave, you know, but I was rattled, honestly. We didn't know her. We had no relationship with her. She came in with no recommendation, no introduction. She made assumptions. She made demands and honestly freaked me out a little bit. The materials that she left, she actually had some things that she'd run off. They were vague at best. About what she was like. It was, there was some like you looked at her materials and you're like, any good shepherd is going to protect their flock, right? So do you think she ever got a chance to speak? Probably not, right? No. Her whole approach caused massive friction. You know, like the brakes on a car. Like I'm like, if I was driving a car and I would be like both feet on the brake, you know, it's like massive friction. We're up all the friction. This is a full stop moment because all the social rules are broken. All of the safety rules are broken. All of the everything, alarms going off in my head. You do not want to have that effect on people. Okay. But sometimes when, like there might've been other things going on with her, but when we get like feeling desperate, we kind of get a little like that, maybe not to that extreme, but we kind of come off. There's something off. We set off some sort of internal alarm for somebody. Now, it doesn't, like, we don't have to be that extreme. I gave you an extreme example to help you just kind of see the reactions. So you know how you would react in that type of situation, right? My first reaction was, do I know this woman? Then, does she need help? Then does she attend church here? Like I'm trying to like, do I know her? Like, is she, you know, could it be that she's talked to the pastor already and she's following up? Like, I don't know. Because she kind of actually, I didn't tell you the whole story, but she tried a few different tactics. But, you know, and then I'm like, what is she talking about? And then I even went to, is she dangerous and how dangerous is she? So all of these questions went through my mind in just a few seconds. Now, people will judge you very, very quickly, okay? Just split second, right? So, this is an extreme example, but think about the many ways that you meet potential donors, and they are all asking these questions. They're all asking, do I know this person? Do I know someone who knows them? Do I like them? And that do I like them is less than a second. It's just a fraction of a second. It's a moment, right? And can I trust them? We go through these. It's all an involuntary process, okay? So don't think poorly of people if they're asking these questions. These are questions that we just naturally as human beings have when we meet someone new, okay? So we can inadvertently have that kind of same effect by skipping essential steps in the donor journey, right? When we're feeling pressured to raise funds, we can enter into situations with expectations that are not in line with the relationship. We meet someone, we go right to the ask, or we drop hints, or we're unprepared to answer budget questions. So then that raises trust issues, or we don't have a case document to leave with somebody. Which basically just means that we're expecting them to memorize everything we said, right? So all of these things cause friction. And of course, anytime we're talking about relationship, and that's what fundraising is all about, then there is an opportunity for these missteps and misunderstandings and the friction. Sometimes you will get introduced to someone new by somebody that they already know and like and trust. And what happens there is the person who introduces you is lending their credibility to you. And so it's easier for the new person to trust you because somebody that they know, like, and trust already has said, hey, I know this person, I like this person, I trust this person, and I recommend this person, right? And that reduces the friction and makes it a whole lot easier for the other person. Because remember, the question is, do I know the person? And then is, do I know somebody who knows the person? And if I know somebody who knows the person, that reduces the friction, right? So when you're coming in cold, though, you have got to give that relationship time and create a pathway that shows them who you are, what you're about, what your values are. You introduce them to your mission and your vision, and you have to earn their trust. And you have to do that through a communication strategy that takes those things into account. You've got to state clearly what it is you're doing, who you are, why you're doing what you do, right? And this is when we talk about the essential stories that you need to tell, this is what all of these stories do, and that's why we call them essential. the donor's journey is such a big part of where we find friction when we try to skip those steps, when we do not tell all of the essential stories on a regular basis. What we do a lot of times is we do the transformation stories or testimonies, and we kind of tell those over and over and over again, or we don't really tell stories. We just do reports. Hey, we went here, we did this, we went here, we did this. You know, here's where we're going next. You need to give. Or we tell need stories. We need this. We really need you to give. We're going through this. We really need you. And then people are like, wow, they're always needing things. Like things are always coming up and it's always an emergency. And then that hits the trust issue where it goes, do these folks plan? And yes, you're going to have emergencies come up. You are going to have things that come up. But if they come up over and over and over, or if you're presenting everything at, like it's an emergency, that's going to begin to wear and cause friction because people are going to say, why is everything always an emergency? You've got to understand from the donor's point of view where the friction is, all right? And so that's the friction that happens because of our storytelling. A major point of friction is that we expect people to follow through without any reminders or follow through on our part. So when we meet somebody and they're interested and they often need to talk to someone else, like a spouse or a missions committee or somebody that they trust, somebody else maybe who has a part in the decision-making process, or they want to pray about it. And we want people to do those things. And that's where your one-pager or your case document comes into play. So you hand them that printed piece at the end of your conversation, and it has everything they need to know to make a donation. They don't have to try and remember what you told them. The piece serves as a reminder. They can use it as they discuss it with, as they discuss your cause with their people. And having something that's well-written, thought out, and easy to follow that just introduces you and covers the main points, tells exactly what the need is and how they can give, your contact information, your invitation to answer their questions, all of this reduces friction. And you know, most of the time when we talk about friction and fundraising, the conversation centers around the donation page and problems with your website and problems with your processes. And those are a place you do need to look at to reduce the friction. But I've wanted to really focus on the storytelling because that's one of the main things that we do at Mission Writers is we help you with your storytelling. So we'll talk about your donation page in the next episode. I really want to touch on these storytelling elements because, of course, that's what we do at Mission Writers is help you with your storytelling and your writing. You know, you can get everything right on your donation page, but if you don't get them to your donation page, that's a storytelling problem. So think about where are people getting stuck, and that will help you find where the friction is happening, okay? So in all of your materials, online, in print, make everything super easy to read. Anything over a seventh grade level, maybe eighth grade, you will lose people. Even when your supporters are very educated with postgraduate degrees, they're all fancy and use big words, they don't like to work at reading. Nobody really likes to work at reading. People read for enjoyment. People read to get information. Difficult sentences, long words, big paragraphs, all of those things cause friction. And here's a big one that a lot of nonprofits are guilty of, trying to cram too much on a page. We call it the wall of text, right? It's when your margins get real tiny. When you start fiddling with the font size, just you need to edit. Just take my word for that. If you are trying to make smaller font sizes and fiddle with margins to fit things on a page, you have written too many words and you need to go back and edit that story. So that's the storytelling part of it. In the next episode, I'll cover the donation page part of it, which is also a big cause of frustration for a lot of donors. For now, this is the Life and Mission Podcast. I'm Kay Helm. Find your voice, tell your story, change the world. Hey, it's Kay here. There's one big truth about fundraising that people do not tell you when you start out, and that is, if you struggle to tell stories, you will struggle to raise funds. But what kinds of stories do you tell? How do you tell them? Where do you find them? How do you put them together? And how do you do all that while you're running your ministry, while you're doing all the work and all the things that you have to do? It does not have to be overwhelming. This is my good news. And also, I want you to hear this. Fundraising is not just about asking for money. Raising funds for your mission does not have to feel icky. Fundraising is really about relationships. It's about sharing stories with friends. And it's about being very clear about what it takes to accomplish great things together. I created the Mission Writers course to help you tell better stories, to know what stories to tell, when to tell them, how to tell them, where to find your stories. So go over to missionwriters.org. That's Mission Writers, like you're writing. Missionwriters.org has all the details on the course and on the group coaching program. So you have two options. And if you love a missionary or a nonprofit leader who needs this course, gift certificates are available. So check it out at missionwriters.org and let's make 2024 your best year ever.